And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to It's Time to Travel on the Road. As myself and I think many other Gopher fans likely listening to this are hopping on a flight heading to Raleigh-Durham as the Gophers head to Chapel Hill, North Carolina to take on the number 20 North Carolina Tar Heels this weekend. First and foremost, Luke, how are you? And before I even give you a chance to answer that, I want you to know the Roseville bus situation has already been resolved.
No way. Serious?
Someone knew exactly who I was talking about. Now I have a vague idea who my neighbor is now, potentially.
Oh, wait, so wait, wait. So it's not... It's not
timey guy who just goes up and knocks on their door and says, hey, nice bus.
Yeah.
I have successfully done it the millennial way, which is creepily kind of asking on the internet, do you know who this is, vaguely? And we got our answer. So now I feel pretty vindicated right now.
Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't say that it's done, Ryan. I think that what you've done is... You have a vague idea, and now you need to go and meet your neighbor.
See, now it's even creepier to me if I go knock on their door knowing that I have a vague idea of who they are. They'll have no clue who I am.
Sure.
Me and my 162-pound Mastiff here just sitting at your front door because I walk past their house every day when I take them for a walk.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's hilarious.
I'm just glad I have now a better idea of what's going on in my neighborhood.
All right. Well, I still think, you know, if you need, I'll come over. We can go knock together and we can say, hi, we're Gopher Gridiron Radio. Cool bus.
I'll tell you this, but I don't have near the confidence you do to have people think or just to think myself that people know who I am, because who am I?
Well,
but just a random dude on the internet who talks about Gopher football.
Yeah, no. I don't mean that they should know who I am. I just think it would be funny to have two guys roll up and
hey,
be like,
we run a podcast.
Cool bus. Yeah,
do you listen?
That's the ultimate growth hacking, marketing possible.
Door knocking. This is us. We're a podcast.
Do you know how to? Do you remember when we started and you wrote that article about how to subscribe to a podcast?
I mean, to be peace and love to this Gopher football fan base. I think back in the day, especially, podcasts were very new for people of a certain generation.
Yes,
I think a lot of them have figured it out. Which yes. Kudos to you, because I know my parents and potentially grandparents would have not a shot of figuring out how to subscribe to a podcast, how to listen to a podcast, but never underestimate this fan base, Luke.
No, absolutely. And the podcast continues to seemingly grow. We're astounded. Like you said, we have over 1 million downloads. Incredible. The response.
300 freaking episodes.
Which 300 episodes is mind boggling in its own right.
I can't believe you put up with me just going off on tangents. That's the running joke amongst the millennial community, Luke, is instead of going to therapy, we just started a podcast.
Yeah, so absolutely. All right, so we should probably get into this game. Like you said, this is the Gophers' first true road test of the season. You know, first game at home against Nebraska, second game against Eastern Michigan. Now traveling to the road in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to take on the number 20 ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. We probably should reminisce real quickly about, I think right about the time we started doing this podcast, they were going to play North Carolina, and then they ended up paying to get out of it. And Jerry Kill was like, nope, we're not playing that game. Or he claimed they have nothing to do with it, but I'm pretty sure he had everything to do with it.
And then Norwood Teague back at the time was caught holding the literal bag, taking all the brunt for it. But here we are, games finally in fruition. For those of you who don't remember, this is a home and home series. So to start the season in 2024, your Gophers will host what I assume is going to be a Drake Mayless North Carolina team. So yet another likely Thursday night to kick off the season.
Yeah, should be fun. You know, Ryan, before we get into this, I did want to highlight we are going to have a new sponsor joining here for the remainder of 2024, and I want to highlight them in particular. As you know, we work closely with Derek Burns and Dinkytown Athletes, and we're trying to do everything we can to promote Dinkytown Athletes and get people to become members, and if they're not members, they should be. But we have a new sponsor, which is Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, and one might ask, why are the names so closely tied to Dinkytown Athletes? Well, this is a real estate group whose whole passion for the University of Minnesota is a deep commitment to supporting its athletes in both name, image, and likeness. And their mission is to provide outstanding real estate services to Gopher fans, in doing so, contributing to the success and well-being of the University of Minnesota. And you might ask yourself, how does real estate work with name, image, and likeness? Well, if you go to their website, you're going to actually see images of some of the athletes on there. For instance, Devin Eastern from the football team. So if you're listening to this, you can see a picture of Devin Eastern along with some of the other athletes. But also, Ryan, most importantly, when a transaction happens, a portion of the transaction is going to be going to Dinkytown athletes. And say you're the seller, you get to designate what sport this would go to. I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing. This is going to be no small sum of money as well. It's a good way to be able to contribute to NIL efforts here in Minnesota without actually having to cut your own check, right? Just start to use the assets you have or the transaction that you're going to make. I'm really excited about this. I don't know of anybody doing this nationally. Do you?
No, certainly not a portion of a transaction, which if you've seen the real estate market these days, that's going to be a nice little healthy portion going towards Dinkytown athletes, which obviously benefits the Gopher football team, Gopher athletics. And so how do people start to work with Team Dinkytown?
Yeah, so then go to teamdinkytown.com. They obviously have a web form there that you can fill out to contact them. Also, you can reach out at 612-250-8562. Also, if you happen to be a University of Minnesota alum, specifically an athlete, so basically if you competed in a sport and you're a real estate agent or you want to become a real estate agent, reach out to Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. They're willing to partner with you and even cover like your license fee, etc. So you'll be hearing more about this initiative, but make sure you spread the word. I mean, this is huge for NIL efforts, not just for football, but for all student athletes at the University of Minnesota, Ryan.
100%. So teamdinkytown.com.
All right. So let's get into this game again, Ryan. So before we break down, obviously, the offense and defense, obviously some key injuries that we've been monitoring, obviously. Cody Lindenberg, we watched in the Eastern Michigan game, Brevin Span Ford go into the tent for far too long, as well as stay on the ground for far too long. But what are some other injuries and updates you can give us real quick?
The updates would be, God bless you, because I have none, considering PJ Fleck refuses to talk about injuries in a serious manner. The update on Cody Lindenberg from Fleck's direct mouth this week was he's ifable. It's not even a ifable word in the dictionary. Like, that's how much he is like the Bill Belichick in terms of hating to give anything resembling an update. But the injuries that you should be watching heading into the game on Saturday include running back Bryce Williams, Minnesota's third down back a week ago, and for most of his career, missed the game last week with an unknown injury. You could tell by watching him in warmups, he's clearly dealing with something. He looked a little... I don't even know how to even put it, Luke. I mean, he was clearly dealing with something going on out there. Okay. We'll see if he's back this week. I would say the two most important we're all watching are Brevin Span Ford and Cody Lindenberg. To Luke's point, we talked about it on the breakdown episode, but Brevin Span Ford, after failing to catch that pass, deflects into an interception, which is unfortunate for Ethan and the team. He's down on the field for 4 or 5 minutes. He then is in the injury tent for at least 15 minutes of real time before coming out. I would say he's questionable. If you asked me, I would say 55-45 he plays on Saturday, but he is certainly questionable at best for this game. I'm still not optimistic. You're going to see a ton more Chris Ottman-Bell yet. I don't know how many more times I got to say this for the listeners, but he's coming up now on a year since he had ACL, meniscus, and serious knee surgery. I mean, the expectation should never have been he's playing a full complement of snaps in the first few weeks of the season. Now we'll see if maybe he gets a few more snaps in this game. Sounds like he was dealing with a little bit of an illness for that Eastern Michigan game, which compounded on top of the knee injury. So we'll see if he's got a little bit more confidence, and so does the staff in that knee. And then the biggest one potentially is Cody Lindenberg. Minnesota's best linebacker has missed the first couple of games with a soft tissue injury. There is a lot of optimism from both PJ Fleck and other people around the program that I've spoken with that he is going to make his return this weekend against the Tar Heel offense. So the big one I think we're all going to be watching is playmaker-wise on offense. Are Bryce Williams back? Is Brevin Spanford going to return? And do we see an uptick in snaps for Chris Ottman-Bell?
All right. So anything else we want to hit on? Otherwise, let's jump right into when the Gophers are on offense.
Let's see what they're doing on offense.
All right. So again, the Gophers are taking on North Carolina in North Carolina. So on the season, the Gophers are averaging 332 yards of total offense, 156 through the air, 175 on the ground. Conversely, North Carolina is giving up 422 yards of total offense, 314 through the air and 105 on the ground. In the last two games that they've played, because they've only played two, North Carolina has given up 34 and 17 points respectively. Minnesota has scored 25 and 13 respectively. And just a reminder that in their most recent game, North Carolina was victorious over Appalachian State in double overtime, winning 40 to 34. So, Ryan, what should we expect when this Gopher offense is on the field?
This game is so interesting to get into with the nuances of it, I would say. I mean, you have what is a perceived strength in the Minnesota defense going against the perceived strength, which is the North Carolina offense. And then on the flip side, the two weaknesses of both teams are Minnesota's offense, which has been incredibly inefficient at times, unexplosive, versus the North Carolina defense, which under Gene Chizik has certainly been a question mark at best for them. I think if you ask any Tar Heel fan, they've given up far too many points. They've given up far too many explosive plays. It's why North Carolina, even with one of the best quarterbacks in college football, hasn't really made its mark more or less in the ACC. They've been a really good team. That's why they're the number 20 team in the country, but it's their defense that's holding them back. So you look at it from a Minnesota perspective here, how are they going to be able to attack them? Well, this is a defense that last week, the Tar Heel defense gave up 34 points, nearly 500 yards of total offense to App State. Now, App State has certainly had their number. I mean, Mack Brown would tell you that. That game last year, Luke, I think it was like 63-60 that North Carolina ended up winning. App State just gives a bunch of issues for whatever reason to their in-state school there. But to me, it comes down to, for Minnesota's offense, do we finally see the passing game click? Because they haven't clicked in game one. They didn't click in game two. They didn't click really back in the bowl game, more or less. I mean, the last time we saw it really click was that Wisconsin game. And what happened in that Wisconsin game? They were able to generate explosive plays. Now, I asked offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh about that today. As Fleck reminded us on Monday, they changed their explosive play definition, Luke, from 20 yards to 25 yards is now the barometer to clear.
And they haven't passed it yet, right?
No, they haven't. And I reminded Harbaugh of that. I said, Gregory, you haven't cleared that bar yet and through two games. And he said, Ryan, we have 8 plays over 20 yards, just none over 25.
Right.
So last year's barometer, they've cleared. This year's barometer, they haven't. And that's where I don't know why I keep thinking. I got Northwestern on the mind for whatever reason. But this North Carolina defense has allowed 10 explosives of over 20 or more yards through the air and none on the ground. So if Minnesota is going to be able to generate some explosives, it's going to be through the air, and it's going to have to come through that right arm of Ethan Calliope-Manis. But on the flip side, Luke, this has got to be a game where Minnesota is as efficient in the red zone as they've been in previous seasons.
Yeah.
Because 3 points instead of 7 is not going to beat a North Carolina offense that over their last 16 games, which I think is a pretty good sample size in college football or just in football in general, they're averaging 35 points per game over their last 16 games. So if you are going to win this game as a touchdown underdog, You're going to have to be efficient in the red zone, which Minnesota struggled at times to start the season.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You and I both like, CFB graphs, which is by Stats of War, Parker Fleming. And if you look at the advanced stats preview, Ryan, and you look, it's so Jekyll and Hyde, right? If you look at North Carolina when they're on defense, everything is like red. They're like, they're, you know, usually in the bottom 100 in the country in terms of any efficiency stat. But if you look at them on offense, and we'll get to this later, they're pretty much blue or in the top 20 or 25 in the country in every offensive stat. It's kind of wild. You know, from an efficiency standpoint, they rank 122nd in defensive efficiency in terms of EPA. If you look conversely, though, Minnesota offensively has not been real effective offensively thus far. The one thing that I am interested in, to your point, is just getting into manageable third downs for this offense. The Gophers have done a good job if they can get into, you know, third and fourth downs of manageable length. And, you know, the stats are maybe a little bit skewed early because they had some success, especially early against North Carolina. But getting into manageable third downs seems to be a key for this offense against North Carolina.
Without question, because North Carolina's pass rush is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
They have one of the best pass rushers in the ACC and Kamon Rucker. He's got 17 pressures in two games. That's a lot. He's got 13 hurries in two games. That's a lot. The other thing I'd kind of note here is, so Rucker's going to line up against Minnesota's right tackle, which the first two games was Quinn Carroll. So I wonder if Minnesota's going to keep a tight end to chip him or a running back to chip him. I mean, Fleck even alluded to on Monday, which I thought was strange, Luke. He was asked about the offensive line performance, which he was happy with, but then he went out of his way to say, yeah, Greg Johnson's not going to redshirt this year.
Oh, really?
Which Greg Johnson hasn't even played in a game. He's the true freshman four-star offensive lineman from Prior Lake.
He's probably like your biggest crush since Brevin Spanford.
I think Greg Johnson is going to be a really good player.
I know.
I mean, I was the one banging the table for him to be a four-star. I mean, go back and watch his senior tape, which all you got to do is type in Greg Johnson Huddle, HUDL, Prior Lake. Watch that senior tape. That big boy moves in space now. And that's tough to find. But I was like thinking to myself, you're unprompted saying Greg Johnson is going to not redshirt, which he hasn't even played in a game yet. So are you really going to throw him in for the first time on the road in a ranked environment? He also brought up JJ Gaudet's name unprompted, saying that both those two guys are going to play. So I'm thinking to myself, is this a game where Carroll slides back into guard and Gaudet gets his first work at right tackle in a serious game? Is it going to be Greg Johnson slides in at guard somewhere? But I think Tyler Cooper has played really well. I would imagine if they're going to move a guy, it would be Martez Lewis between the two. I don't really know what they're going to do here, Luke. But to your point, if you get backed up on North Carolina with their pass rush, specifically Kamon Rucker, it's going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. So that's where arguably one of the things of the day is going to be, you got to be efficient on early downs. And that's what Greg Harbaugh mentioned today. But if Minnesota is also going to generate more explosives, they're going to have to give Ethan Callie Akmanis enough time in the pocket. And that also means this offensive line's got to bring it in pass pro. So you mentioned it. I mean, the best third down offense is not being there, being efficient on first and second down. And if you are going to be there, you'd want it to be third and short. So they're going to have to run the ball with Darius Taylor and Sean Tyler a little bit.
Yeah, and this is one stat that I think it just totally has to give in this game, Ryan. But Minnesota ranks 118th on offense and early down EPA. Again, just a reminder that EPA is expected points added, whereas North Carolina ranks 118th on defense in EPA. I think it's ironic that they're both 118.
Leans right into the whole weakness versus weakness and strength versus strength.
Yes.
And it just comes down to which strength is better, which weakness is better.
Yep.
Because I know that this spread is a touchdown, but we'll get into it kind of in our prediction part. I really only see this game going one of two ways, and we'll get into it a little bit later.
Ryan, it's time to get on the road, which means you need to pack some stuff. Obviously, your Gopher game day gear, etc. I gotta imagine people are going to be packing their home field apparel at homefieldapparel.com. Again, if you use the code GG23, you'll save 15% on your first order. But Ryan, people are getting ready to go. We got to see what they're going to be packing, right?
100%. And I know a lot of you have ordered this home field apparel, which we've talked about for some time now. The quality is outstanding. Your significant other is going to take it because it feels so nice to the touch. It's unique designs that you're not going to see anywhere else. It's stuff that you want to wear to the airport or from the airport going to Raleigh, because fans are going to look at you and say, where'd you get that? And you can say homefieldapparel.com. So if you have some home field apparel, what we want you to do is, while you're traveling to Raleigh or on your Gopher Friday, whatever it may be, tweet at us a picture with it at Gopher Radio on the Twitter machine. We want to see you guys wearing it. If you haven't checked out what they got already, there's maroon, there's gold, there's sweatpants, there's crew necks, whatever it may be. It's unique Gopher apparel that is worth it. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code GG, as in Gopher Gridiron, 23 at checkout today. Get 15% off your first order. So make sure to tweet at us with your home field apparel today.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Ryan, on the season, this Gopher defense is only giving up 223 yards of total offense, 92.5 through the air, and 131 on the ground. North Carolina, conversely, is averaging 482 yards of total offense, 238.5 through the air, and 243.5 on the ground. North Carolina has scored over 30 points in both games, 31 against South Carolina and 40 against Appalachian State. Minnesota has yet to give over 10 points, giving up only 10 points to Nebraska, 6 to Eastern Michigan University. I think this is going to be a very, very interesting matchup, Ryan. What do you expect to see when the Gophers are on defense?
I expect to hear Justin Gard putting his children to bed, hearing me say, this is the most excited I've been about a matchup for Joe Rossi since he had to take on, I believe, in week 3 of last year, Mike Sanford, who's now doing podcasts out.
No, he's not. Seriously?
Mike Sanford is now a podcaster.
Ah, welcome,
Mike. He's taken a year off from football, and he's become a podcaster, which, what did I say earlier? Instead of going to therapy, men just start a podcast. So we're talking about a North Carolina offense that's very prolific. As I mentioned earlier, over their last 16 games, they're averaging 35 points a game. Now enter Joe Rossi, who his defense hasn't allowed more than 20 in any of their last 8 games. Now, the comeback you'll hear from many of the Tar Heel faithful, I don't know why that was so difficult, was they haven't faced a quarterback like Drake May. Now, I would agree with you, because Drake May is among a conversation to, I'm trying to think of the last really good quarterback that Minnesota faced, a.k.a. one that it's going to be a top 100 pick, let alone a first-round pick. I think you got to go all the way back to over 2 years ago now, that when Minnesota opened their season with Ohio State, I believe it was Justin Fields was their starter. I mean, Justin Fields obviously starts for the Chicago Bears now. Yep. So it's been over 2 years since the Gophers have really faced a really good quarterback. And now it's going to be put to the test, because this offense, as much as it had been through the air, Luke, and that's what it was primarily last season, the element that scares me is how efficient they've been on the ground. I mean, you look at the advanced stats, I believe North Carolina's running offense is the most, I guess I would
they're
say,
they're number efficient. One in EPA per rush.
Yes, in college football, which of 130 teams. Now, they've done that with Omarion Hampton, who is the reigning Doak Walker running back of the week in college football. I mean, he's been really good for them. He's forced a lot of missed tackles. He's a big bruising back, as most of these guys are. They run through a lot of first contact, so Minnesota's going to have to wrap up well. But that's what scares me. Yes, we'll talk a lot about Drake May today, and I will a little bit later on, Luke, but that's the added element for North Carolina this year, is the running game. They were like a throw-to-run team, or I guess a run-to-throw team, however you want to look at it. They were primarily led last year by Drake May's right arm, as many teams across the country would be. They could run it at times, but they haven't been able to run it as efficiently and as explosively as they have been this through the first 2 weeks of the season here so far. So that's kind of what gives me hesitation here.
Okay. Yeah. You know, when I look at this, Ryan, again, you're saying this is North Carolina's strength going up against Minnesota's strength. You know, if you look at the advanced stats, the Gophers actually haven't been very good against EPA per rush. They rank 126th in the country, whereas North Carolina is first. I am interested, you know, but the defense has been good, right? They're really good EPA against the pass, or EPA per pass. They're number two in the country right now. I am interested to see what North Carolina's approach is. They have run the ball really well this year. From a personnel standpoint, I know that there's the wide receiver that hasn't gotten clearance from the NCAA. That's kind of...
He will not be playing this weekend, yeah, which is very important for this specific game, because Tez Walker, who I'm sure many of you fans have heard of, the ongoing verbal spat between Mack Brown, North Carolina, and the NCAA going on in the last week or so here, where their final ruling was Tez Walker, the Kent State wide receiver transfer, a likely top 100 pick in the next NFL draft, was deemed ineligible. So that kind of leaves them to their slot receiver, and I believe his name is Kobe Paysewer. But, I mean, that's what they've needed to do, because they don't have as many playmakers. Now, they still have playmakers for Drake May to throw to, but the running game element has kind of mitigated the loss at times of Tez Walker so far.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know their personnel particularly well, but in some ways you have to say that, like, having a Drake May, it's almost irrelevant. But if they can run the ball,
that's the most important part here, 100%. Now, if you want to get a little bit more intimate, specifically with the offensive line, Luke, I got two Minnesota connections for you up front on the North Carolina O-line. Their right tackle, Spencer Rowland, is from Apple Valley.
No way.
He went to Harvard, and then he transferred over. He's their right tackle now.
Okay.
And then a former Golden Gopher commit, for those of you who are really sickos, have really followed Gopher recruiting, especially in the PJ Fleck era, Corey Gaynor is their center, a one-time Gopher commit. I believe he played at Florida for a season, which is where he ended up signing before transferring to North Carolina. I think I have that right. But a couple of Minnesota connections there on the offensive line. But that's kind of where I want to end this, at least discussion to start, Luke. How does this game go in the trenches?
Yeah.
Because you've mentioned it, to the first 2 weeks of the season, Minnesota has struggled to stop the run at times. Now, yes and no. Jeff Sims in game one was its own unique thing, mm-hmm, especially when Joe Rossi doesn't know what to expect. This defense was breaking in so many brand new players. In the first half against Eastern Michigan, they found some success on the ground as well. But obviously the second half, they made the adjustments, allowed 4 total yards. So I'm not incredibly sure what to think quite yet. I think Northwestern – how many times on this podcast am I going to call them Northwestern?
I don't know. You really want to get to Evanston.
I don't even know what I'm doing right now. But
yeah,
it comes down to upfront for Minnesota. We've seen them be better in week one on the edges from guys like Jalen Logan Redding, Ja Joyner, Danny Strigow. We saw last week Kyler Baugh have the game of his life. Joe Rossi went as far as today to say that's the best game he has seen from a Gopher defensive tackle in his time as the defensive coordinator, which, yes, the bar to clear for that I think is high enough, but we're still talking about the Niles Pinckneys and the Sam Renners and the Stove Richardsons of the world. But if Minnesota's defensive line can really be physical with that North Carolina offensive line, I'm not incredibly impressed with the North Carolina offensive line through two games. Now, Drake May can make them look a lot better than they are. Omarion Hampton, and I think British Brooks, who's the other running back, who they're expected back, I mean, they can make them look better than they are. But if Minnesota can wrap up, especially in just like we talked about with the Gopher offense, Luke, if you can put North Carolina behind the sticks,
yeah,
and then try and disguise coverages for Drake May and generate pressure around him, that's going to be key. But the final thing I'll say about Drake May, and I haven't even really talked about him yet, is the thing that scares me most about Drake May are two things. Number one, his legs. Mm-hmm. People don't understand how good he is as a runner. I believe he has run for 61 first downs in his last 16 games. If you really want to be approximate here, that's 4 first downs the young man's getting with his legs per game. I mean, he's really good with breaking the pocket when things kind of collapse around him and then running for a first down. And the other thing is, what makes Drake May so good with his arm? I mean, he's very accurate. I mean, there are just, if there is a broken coverage or something, Minnesota's not going to get away with it in this game, because he's going to find him and it's not going to be a miss. And then second and 10, it's going to be a 3-play, 75-yard scoring drive, which is the bane of Joe Rossi's existence. So his legs and his accuracy, to me, Luke, really stand out.
Yeah, and additionally, you know, where the Gophers need to try and find success on early downs, which they haven't been able to do very well this so far this season, you know, when they're on offense, North Carolina has been the complete inverse. They've been very successful. Their early down EPA is number 4 in the country, and, you know, that translates to having a really, really successful third and fourth down rate. You know, in general, Ryan, this defense has to find a way to, you know, put North Carolina behind the sticks and make for it. And, you know, that's something historically they've done a good job of, but this is by far the best opponent they will play all year. Not all year. This is the best opponent they've played all year. And this will be the first real true test of how good this defense is. Ryan, we've been talking about Comply Foam and their earbud tips for a while now, and I hope people have been paying attention, because having quality earbud tips for a long flight from Minneapolis to Raleigh is really important, not only for comfort, but also for noise isolation.
100%. And that's where, if you've already gotten this far into the podcast and you're noticing to yourself, those silicone tips in your ear right now, they're not staying in like they used to. They're hurting your ear a little bit. Stop what you're doing. Go on your mobile device. Go to complyfoam.com. Whether they're your AirPods, whether they're your Beat Pros like mine, get yourself some Comply Foam ear tips. I don't know how many more times I have to say this for this to resonate. You've already invested in those expensive earbuds. Now give them ear tips that'll stop causing you pain. You don't have to adjust them constantly, because the memory foam creates a better ear seal, so your earbuds stay where they need to be. And if you go through with your purchase, you get to the end, well, promo code GG23 at checkout gets you 20% off. Again, you're on the airplane right now, you're heading to the airport, wherever you may be. Get some new ear tips, stop causing your ears pain, get ones that actually stay in, support a local company in Oakdale, Minnesota that Comply is. Go to complyfoam.com. Use the promo code GG23 at checkout and save 20% off your order.
And it is now time for the facts and figures portion of the podcast. Again, this is a 2:30 Central Time kick on September 16th. The Gophers are 2-0 on the season. North Carolina is 2-0. Additionally, the over under for this game, Ryan, the Gophers, it's a 50 point over under, and the Gophers are an 8-point underdog. The Gophers will be, again, traveling to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I do know there's a fair number of people headed. I think you're headed as well. So one, safe travels, Ryan, but additionally, make sure you have a good time. And then for this game day, it looks like the high on Saturday will be 84. Doesn't look like there's much chance of rain. Additionally, it doesn't look like the wind is going to play much of a factor. The sun will be setting rising around 7 a.m. And then we'll be setting around 7:22 p.m. So it should
I'm
be.
So glad you told people the sunrise, Luke. I was curious.
I know you're thinking about deer season. The reality is,
for those of you who are sticking around, good luck in archery opener this weekend.
Yeah,
archery opener this weekend for deer here in the great state of Minnesota. I got my trail cameras out. I know everybody was dying to hear about that, and you can't wait to hear about my hunting exploits over the next 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. I was mostly saying the sunrise because I started reading the wrong time. But yeah, again, the over-under for this game is currently, as it sits right now, is 50. North Carolina is getting 8 points, Ryan. So we should probably get to your keys to this game.
Well, I suppose, and that's where, if the Gophers are going to win this game as an 8-point underdog, number one on offense, they have to generate more explosive plays, but also be more efficient in the red zone, because through the first 2 weeks of the season, the Gopher offense has struggled to find consistent footing. Luke mentioned it earlier. They're averaging 332 total yards per game, 19 points. What are at the crux of those issues? Well, inefficiency in the red zone and little to no explosive plays. So if things are going to change for the better, it starts in the red zone. Against Eastern Michigan last week, the Gophers had six different drives end within the Eagles' red zone. If you knew that, if you knew only that six different drives got in within the 10-yard line of the Eastern Michigan Eagles, Luke, you'd believe Minnesota scored 30-plus points with ease.
Right.
But that's the issue here. It's just three of Minnesota's eight red zone drives this season have ended with a touchdown. Now, I asked Fleck about that on Monday, and he kind of claimed it's because of how stubborn he was. I won't read the whole quote, but here's the paraphrase, or here's the snippets. PJ Fleck, and I quote, "I just think it was more like situational stuff. It wasn't like I'm calling the plays, but I like the call on second and one in the red zone. I like what you're calling, but we got to instill a mentality, and that's to run the football. I probably interjected more than I probably ever have, but we get the ball inside the five three times. I'm used to Mo Ibrahim scoring a touchdown. That's been our bread and butter. For 7 years, that's what we used with whoever the back is. Well, as a head coach, I still want to be used to that. So I got to use whoever in there, and you can't just do it in practice anymore. And that's what we felt like we had to do against Eastern Michigan. We learned from it, and there were times we were able to do it, times we weren't. Now we got that data. We got to respond to that data. And I've been very transparent this week with our football team. So regardless of who's responsible for these red zone issues, Fleck claims it's him. They got to change for the better against North Carolina, because turning 37% of your red zone possessions into touchdowns isn't going to win a road rank game. So it's on OC Greg Harbaugh to figure out the best combination of run pass to give his offense the best chance of getting 7 points instead of three. The other point of emphasis here is Minnesota generating those explosive plays. I'll remind you, Minnesota's own threshold changed this year from 20 to 25 yards. And through the first 2 weeks of the season, by their own standards, they have zero offensive plays that have defined as an explosive. Now you're going against a Heisman Trophy candidate whose offense has averaged 35 points per game over their last 16 games. Does that give you anything for pause, Luke, or should I keep going?
I think you can keep going.
But looking at the North Carolina defense, they can be attacked in spots. They've been on the field a lot through the first 2 weeks of the season, Luke. They're totaling 151 plays. They've, on average, through the first 2 weeks of the season, been on the field for 75 plays of defense compared to Minnesota. Their defense has only been on the field for average of 49 plays. So you're talking about 50% more plays that North Carolina has been on the field, their defense, compared to Minnesota's. And then you take a peek behind the advanced metrics curtain of Gene Chizik's defense. They rank below average in EPA against the run and pass. They've allowed 10 different completions of 20-plus yards already. And on the ground, their run defense ranks 112th in EPA. So it's going to be very interesting here, because to me, the Minnesota Moving Company's got a challenge on among themselves to block number 25. That's the defensive lineman that you're going to have to keep an eye on all game. Number 25 for North Carolina, Kamon Rucker. He leads the Tar Heels in pressures, hurries, and more times than not in the games I watch, he's going to be going against Minnesota's right tackle. So keeping him out of the pocket so that Ethan Calais-McManus can deliver accurate downfield throws is massive. But through two games, Luke, I mean, some of these things are just, I'm about to say, through two games, the North Carolina defense has 55 pressures, 39 hurries, 10 tackles for loss, and 8 sacks. So if Minnesota's going to break out of that explosive shell they've been in, it's going to come by the right arm of Ethan Calais-McManus, more or less, to me. Mm-hmm. But he's going to need some time in the pocket to deliver these throws to Daniel Jackson, Corey Crooms, and hopefully Brevin Spanford. So if Minnesota's going to pull off an upset here, the offense is going to have to score 27, 30, 31, 34 points. And how do you do that, Luke? You generate explosive plays, number one, that get you to the red zone. And then when you get in the red zone, you're going to have to punch it in. 7 points instead of three is what helps you win this football game. Now, on the flip side, for Joe Rossi's defense, you're going to have to limit them explosively. Over their last 16 games, for the 15th time, I'll say it again, North Carolina is averaging 35 points per game. That's one of the best marks in Power 5 football. But to give you more context, Luke, in their previous five losses last season, they only averaged 22 points per game. So the recipe to me seems pretty clear. If you limit the Heisman Trophy contender and get this offense to kick field goals instead of touchdowns, you're going to have a chance. Yeah. Now, obviously, that statement, a lot easier said than done because Drake May is outstanding. But their running game revival has been a revelation in 2023. The Tar Heel offense ranks number one in college football in EPA added on the ground. Their success rate running the football is 13th in college football. They're led by British Brooks, which, what a college football name.
No kidding.
British Brooks. Good googly moogly. Him and Omarion Hampton, who I mentioned earlier, Hampton is the reigning Doak Walker running back of the week. And they've been really good. Hampton specifically leads them with 276 rushing yards, five rushing touchdowns. He's got 153 yards after contact, 12 broken tackles. And then Brooks missed the game last week with an injury. He's expected to return this weekend. Now, I also mentioned how Drake May's hidden ability here is his ability to make plays with his legs. He's already rushed for five first downs this year, but in 14 games last year, he had 899 sack-adjusted rushing yards with seven rushing touchdowns and 56 first downs. So when the pocket breaks down around Drake May, he is more than adept at escaping and doing it himself. Now, through the air, North Carolina is going to be without their best receiver in Tez Walker, but with the whole NCAA denying his eligibility. But who their best skill position guy is on the outside for a pass catcher is a slot receiver, which is one that Minnesota really hasn't been tested so much so far this year. A young man by the name of Kobe Paysoor leads them in targets, receptions, receiving yards. So I'm very curious to see how Minnesota uses their nickel to combat him. And the other thing I would say is the North Carolina tight ends have actually been very efficient when they've gotten receptions. They only got 12 receptions the first two games, but seven of those 12 receptions have gone for first downs. So, Luke, when it gets into second and third and long and Paysoor's not there, they're going to be looking at the tight end. But Drake May versus Joe Rossi. The Gophers haven't allowed an opposing offense to cross the 20-point mark in any of their last eight games. And if that's going to continue, Minnesota's front seven is going to have to get after this North Carolina offensive line. Looking at their Pro Football Focus grades, the starting left guard in Willie Lampkin is the only projected starter with a run blocking or pass blocking grade over 70. Now, for those of you who need a refresher course, a 60 grade is dead average in the Pro Football Focus world. So while it looks like North Carolina is going to be getting their starting guard back in Ed Montelis after he missed last week's game with an ankle injury, it's still an offensive line group that's allowed 18 pressures already in two games. And they have only one offensive lineman with a run blocking grade over 62. So a lot of this run game efficiency has been through their backs. So if Minnesota is going to stay in this one, Luke, they got to get after that Tar Heel offensive line. If they're able to stop the running game and back up Drake May in this passing offense and then try to limit him as a runner, they're going to have a shot. And then finally, I'll keep this one quick. You got to win the turnover battle. Now, that's a lot easier said than done because in his career, Luke, do you know how many interceptions Drake May has?
No clue. I'm going to go with five.
He has 41 passing touchdowns and only nine interceptions.
Man.
Now,
it's incredible.
He did turn the ball over twice against South Carolina to start the season, and that's where Minnesota's going to have to live. On the season, the Gophers are plus two in the take give. The Tar Heels are minus one. But that gap is going to have to keep widening on Saturday if Minnesota is going to emerge with a win. Obviously, Sean Tyler cannot continue to put the ball on the ground like he did last week. But Minnesota's got to find a way to generate turnovers against one of the least turnover-prone quarterbacks in college football.
All right, so real quick, again, the over-under is 50. North Carolina is favored by 8. A real quick review, Ryan, on the season. In picking games, you are 2-0 against the over/under, and you are 2-0 against the spread.
Never stress, Luke. Yeah. That's what I want to stress to the listeners.
Unfortunately, I trail you. I am 1-1 on this season. and just another reminder quickly, you picked this game as a loss in our preseason episode, 30-24. I additionally picked this as a loss, 24-21. So if you were looking at today's spread as we see it, you know, the 50 over under and the -8 for North Carolina, you would have had a Minnesota, or you would have had an over, Ryan, but a Minnesota cover. I would have had an under and a Minnesota cover. So I will let you go first this time, Ryan. I very frequently go first.
All right. So here's the TLDR, everyone. If Minnesota is going to walk out of Chapel Hill when you be leaving North Carolina very happy on Sunday morning, here's what it comes down to. As with most Gopher victories, the Gophers are going to have to dominate time of possession, win the explosive play margin, and they can't miss as many tackles as the other team. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because PJ Fleck references it as the 78%. If you win those three games in a given week, his stats say that you win 78% of the time. Now, it's a good place to be, especially getting a ranked road win. But it's almost as much seeing if the Minnesota offense can be more efficient in the red zone, because if they can't and they're leaving there with 3 or 0 points, you're just never going to win this game. I believe Joe Rossi and this Gopher defense can slow down Drake May enough to give the offense a chance in the fourth quarter. But this is still an offense that I need to see more from. I need to see more from them generating explosive plays. I need to see more from them both in play calling and players just making plays in the red zone to make me think Minnesota emerges from this game with a victory. So I'm going to go number 20, North Carolina, 27, Minnesota 24. So Luke, that is a Minnesota cover, and that is a slight over.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm going to take many overs this season,
yeah,
but considering it's the first road game, you're facing a ranked opponent, I think Minnesota can score some, but North Carolina at home is going to do more.
All right, so I looked around at some of the advanced stats previews. Obviously, you and I both like Parker Fleming's, and he has North Carolina a 56% chance of winning with a projected score of about 29-26, maybe a 3-point margin. So he basically looks at this as a pick 'em, which I found a little interesting. Conversely, if you look at at like Kelly Ford, if you follow that, the Gophers only have an expected are expected to win 31% of the time on this game. So his model has it, you know, not even particularly close. The Gophers only winning 3 out of 10 times. I found that interesting.
I would say by my own gut. So you have 31% and then 46%,
yep.
Two different advanced stats there. I'd find a middle ground there. I think Minnesota wins this game if it's played 100 times, 40% of the time.
Sure.
I know that the Vegas spread would indicate it's a lot less opportunistic for Minnesota than that, but I'm telling you, this isn't a game like Ohio State or Michigan where you're thinking to yourself, they're going to need a chip chance and a big prayer.
Mm-hmm.
This is one where if Minnesota can just be efficient in the red zone, they're going to be able to keep up with Drake May, especially going against Joe Rossi.
Yeah, and I am very interested to watch this. You know, North Carolina's good offense against Minnesota's, you know, somewhat, or Minnesota's very good defense. And then, you know,
you just couldn't risk it. You always want to take a shot at Joe Rossi. What does the man have to do for you, Luke?
Like I said, Michael Jordan needed inspiration. I too can provide inspiration, and you know,
nothing like comparing yourself to Michael freaking.
I'm not comparing myself to Michael Jordan.
No, it's fine.
I'm comparing Rossi to Michael Jordan. So yeah, I will, and ironically, this is the North Carolina game. I will also take North Carolina. I'm going to stick with my preseason prediction. North Carolina 24, Minnesota 21, and that would be a under and a Minnesota cover. The Burn Burns Insurance Agency, owned by Bill Burns, Ryan Burns' dad, sponsors Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, Bill is going to shop for you. He is going to serve you. And most importantly, is going to help you save. The three S's in quality insurance coverage.
I want people to know I don't just use my father because he's my father. This isn't like nepotism here. My father is a tremendous insurance agent. He is one that has saved me hundreds, if not thousands of dollars throughout the years since I've been paying for my home, my auto, whatever it may be. And they continue to put your needs first, giving you the service you deserve. They're licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. He's a giant Gopher fan. He runs an independent insurance agency in Oakdale, Minnesota, one that independent-wise, they can get you the best price with the best coverage, and you'd be supporting a Gopher fan at that. So if you think you're paying too much for your home, auto, commercial, boat, ATV, whatever it may be, I can attest as a client, as someone who has seen him save myself and others hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year, check them out at insurancebyburns.com and shoot him an email today at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look around the Big Ten, Ryan. There's a number of ACC Big Ten matchups. So it's almost kind of like the old ACC Big Ten Challenge, but in football. I'll make sure to highlight each of those. Starting first on Friday, September 15th, old ACC foes are going to be going at it. Virginia is traveling to Maryland for a 6 o'clock kick on FS1. Maryland is a 14.5-point favorite and an over-under of 48.
Man, we're going to keep these quick today. I would say Virginia's not good. They just lost to James Madison at home, which go Dukes for you, Arif Hassan. They also lost to Tennessee. They're 0-2. I know that Maryland started slow last week against Charlotte. I have a hard time believing that this isn't a 31-17 type of win for Maryland.
All right, so on Fox at 11 on the 16th, you have Penn State taking on Illinois in Champaign.
Big noon kickoff to yes. you, Luke
yeah.
Buehler.
Fair enough. The over-under is 48.5. Penn State is favored by 14.5. This is one of your first Big Ten East versus Big Ten West, and we all had high hopes for Illinois. Let's see if they can rebound after that loss to Kansas.
This is a gut check game for Brett Bielema and his entire team because their defense has been, to me, the most disappointing part of the Big Ten West, arguably, so far. They're allowing 31 points per game. They've faced Toledo, which is a good MAC team, one that's expected to compete for a championship. They've faced Jalen Daniels in Kansas, who's obviously a very good offense. But that defensive line outside of Johnny Newton just has not been what they thought. They're giving up too many explosive plays. This is a gut check game for them. I mean, I think Brett Bielema is a very good coach. And so if you think Illinois bounces back at home here with Big Noon there being a big game against Drew Aller and Penn State, I wouldn't blame you for taking Illinois plus 14.5 here. But that's where I struggle here is Drew Aller and that Penn State offense with that running game going against a very susceptible Illinois defense right now. It's a big week for D coordinator Aaron Henry for Illinois.
Okay, on Big Ten Network at 11, Louisville and Jeff Brohm will be visiting Indiana and the Hoosiers, who are 1-1. Louisville is 2-0. The over-under is 50.5, with Louisville getting 10 points.
Your guy, Tom Allen, is going to have his hands full on this one.
Yeah, this is a big test.
I mean, if Tom Allen's going to have a job at the end of the season, this is a game he's got to win. Now, Louisville is a double-digit point favorite. Louisville started slow against Georgia Tech, really came on strong in the opener. They just absolutely decimated one of Luke's favorite FCS teams, Murray State, last week. But, I mean, it comes down to defensively. Can Indiana slow down Louisville enough? Because I don't have any trust, really, in Indiana's offense. So this is a big game for Indiana if they're going to find themselves somehow saving Tom Allen's job at the end of the season, which likely means they need to get to a bowl game.
I only need them to save it until Halloween. on BTN, the alternate BTN, at 11, Georgia Southern travels to Wisconsin.
Look at the over-under, Luke.
Yeah, 64.5.
64 for an over-under of a non-conference team and coming into Camp Randall from a Sun Belt.
And Wisconsin is a 19-point favorite.
A lot of points expected here, with Georgia Southern having scored, I believe, somewhere around 40 points per game their first 2 weeks. A Wisconsin defense that struggled to stop much of anything last week. Wisconsin needs to show up here, especially defensively. I know Georgia Southern has definitely give teams in the past. I think they beat Nebraska last year in they beat Nebraska 45-42 last year. So this is a team that's not scared to go into a Big Ten road environment and win. I mean, this will be one of the games I probably keep an eye on while I'm getting ready for the Gopher game at 2:30.
All right, Northwestern travels to Duke. This will be on the ACC Network, a 2:30 kick centrally. 48.5 over under, 18.5 in favor of Duke. You know, this is a pretty consistent matchup, but, man, I don't know how Northwestern pulls this out.
It's interesting that two Big Ten teams will be within 40 minutes of one another, I think is the thing I'm drawing from this. Because
I wondered
Duke obviously plays in Durham.
Yeah.
And then North Carolina plays in Chapel Hill. I think it's about a 40-45 minute drive between the two. You got two road Big Ten teams going to be within. I know Northwestern showed up in the second half last week, but if we learned anything from Duke in week one with Clemson, don't sleep on them Blue Devils, and I think Duke walks away pretty easily.
All right. I was thinking that since you're saying Northwestern so often, that you might actually be going to this game and then traveling.
I'm still so upset about that Northwestern one, but we'll get into that next week.
All right. Then you have Western Michigan traveling to number 25 Iowa, where it will be a 2:30 kick on BTN, a 42.5 over under, and Iowa is a 28.5 point favorite.
That's such a slap in the face to Iowa. And why I say that is Western Michigan lost last week 48-7 to Syracuse. And now they're saying they're only going to lose by 28 to Iowa. I think Iowa would beat Syracuse, but it all comes down to the Iowa offense. Is this the week Iowa's offense actually looks like something?
You mean,
I can guarantee here's what's going to happen. Through the first 15 minutes of the game, the best opening script man in college football, Brian Ferentz, we'll have them up 10 or 14-0. Western Michigan stinks. They're in year one of a new coach. Their entire roster got decimated, as you've seen by some of the transfers. If you're watching this game for whatever reason at the same time in Minnesota and Iowa's on offense, be on the lookout for Donald Willis on defense.
All right, and then the fifth ACC Big Ten matchup will feature Virginia Tech traveling to Rutgers. Rutgers really needs this game, you know, to keep their bowl eligibility hopes alive. This is a 2:30 kick on BTN. It's a 39.5 over under with 7 points in favor of Rutgers.
Minnesota East taking on Virginia Tech that just lost to Purdue at home last week. Rutgers has got this thing rolling defensively, but I want to see if Kirk Shiraka can put up enough points, because again, I'm thinking this is only going to be like a 21-17 type of game. Don't sleep on Rutgers here. I know they're the touchdown favorite, but look at Rutgers getting a little respect here, potentially going 3-0.
Mm-hmm. The number 6 Ohio State Buckeyes are going to host the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. It'll be a 64-point over under with 29 in favor of Ohio State. Oh, and by the way, this is a Fox kick at 3 p.m.
The thing I want to see in this game is Ohio State's defense actually improved. With last year when they lost games or when they were in close ones, their defense was giving them explosive plays left and right. Now they're going to be taking on a Western Kentucky team that I understand it was South Florida and Houston Christian, but they're averaging like 48 points per game. So is Ohio State's defense improved enough against the explosive play is what my eye has this game on.
All right, so another Peacock Bowl here. This might actually get me to purchase Peacock. I will be doing some research this week and sharing it on the podcast here. So this is a 4 p.m. kick on Peacock. The 2-0 Washington Huskies, number 8 in the country, are taking on the Michigan State Spartans. A 55 over-under with Washington favored by 16, Ryan.
What does this team look like without Mel Tucker? Because my assumption is the man is going to be fired at that hearing on, I think it's October 5th or 6th. What does it look like? How does Michigan State respond? Washington has looked phenomenal. Michael Penix has looked absolutely dominant. But this is a game, like, if you ask me of all the games this week, which one I could watch outside of the Minnesota one, I want to see what Michigan State looks like with all of the things going on in East Lansing.
All right. Northern Illinois will be traveling to Lincoln to take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Nebraska will be hosting their first game in the Matt Rule era. This game is on FS1, a 6 p.m. kick. An over under of 43 in Nebraska is favored by 11.5.
Northern Illinois is a weird team to look at so far this year. They went into Boston College and beat them and then came back home and lost to Southern Illinois, which is a Missouri Valley team. I don't know what to really think about this one other than I want to see if Jeff Sims is healthy. If he is, can he stop turning the damn ball over? And if not, what does it look like for a Nebraska offense without him?
All right, Michigan is going to play host to the Falcons of Bowling Green.
I have no interest in this game because Bowling Green's awful. It's
just the line. I got to give you the line. The line is 53.5, Michigan favored by 40.5.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. I have no interest in talking about this game. Michigan will win 38-7, and everybody will be mad in Ann Arbor.
And then the sixth and final ACC Big Ten game, Syracuse will be traveling to Purdue to take on the Boilermakers. The Syracuse is 2-0. Purdue is 1-1. The over-under is 57.7. This game in West Lafayette sees Syracuse a 2.5-point favorite.
Syracuse has allowed 7 points through the first two games, and they've scored over 50. On average, this is a good test. And it's like yet another test for Ryan Walters in this schedule. They didn't quite pass the one at home against Fresno State to start the year. They rebounded on the road last week against Virginia Tech. And this thing just keeps on humming for Ryan Walters. So I'm very interested to see how Purdue kind of rebounds here with a Syracuse team that's got a lot of confidence.
All right, give me a quick reaction to these ACC Big Ten games. We already know your Minnesota pick, Virginia, Maryland.
Virginia, Maryland. I got Maryland.
All right. We're going to take Louisville, Indiana.
Louisville.
Northwestern, Duke.
Duke.
You're going to get Virginia Tech, Rutgers.
Rutgers go Minnesota East.
And last but not least, Syracuse, Purdue.
I'm going to go Syracuse. I'm biased because my second favorite team, I would say, is the Syracuse Orangemen. I got a lot of family in upstate New York. So I'm going to say Syracuse pulls a little bit of a shocker under the lights at Ross-Ade Stadium.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank our sponsors, Home Field Apparel, Comply Foam, Burns Insurance Agency, and now Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group. Again, thank you all for listening, and go Gophers.